Okay, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with the stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Excuse me, thou Son of the Most High God. I adjure you by God that thou torment me not. Because he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, where they were about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and it went out, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but says unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one out of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay a hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, You see the multitude thronging you, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spoke, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha, Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he ordered them, or charged them straightly, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Whole bunch here tonight. Let's see where we can go with it. It says in this first verse of chapter 5, and they came over into the other side of the sea. What would the sea be? It's the humanity. Went to the other side of humanity. Into the country of the what? Does anybody know what the Gadarenes means? It means a dwelling on clay like soil, or literally one of the original inhabitants of Canaan. What would that represent? Flesh. It would represent flesh. What are we made out of?
Clay.
Clay. See? It's all speaking about the flesh. So we went across the other side of humanity into the country of the flesh. Okay? Now, who led them there? That's right. Jesus led them people over. Right? He led them across the sea, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Through humanity. So only Christ is going to get you across there. And when he was come out of the ship, what would you call that? When he come out of the ship? Think about it. What's the ship? The ship is humanity. It's made out of wood. So when he come out of humanity, right, what would that represent to you? Could that be his resurrection? Huh? When he came out of the humanity, when he ascended to the Father? Immediately, when he came out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs, and a tomb's just a big hole in the earth, ain't it? Isn't there a big hole in the earth up here? And there met him a man with a what?
Unclean spirit.
Unclean spirit, or literally, that's the mind of humanity, isn't it? That's all it is, unclean spirit. Well, isn't that the pattern? See, because everybody in the church world tells us we're supposed to head to the Holy of Holies, right? Well, we got a goal. Well, when we get there, what are we supposed to do? In the military, they call it an about face. You know, when you're just it. And they spin around like that, and you the other direction. See, when we get into the Holy of Holies, we've met Father face to face. We're supposed to turn around and go back and get the rest of humanity, aren't we? That's just exactly what he's doing. These are just patterns he's showing you in all kinds of little shadows and stuff. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, or in them big carnal pits up in between her ears, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Right? Can anybody bind the human mind? No. Only God can deal with it. It says, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been pulled in pieces by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. What's he talking about? Nobody could tame him. Remember what James said? The tongue is a deadly evil. Now, what controls the tongue? The mind affair. And it can't be tamed, can it? No man can tame the tongue. God can. God can do it. When he's ready, he will do it. And always, that word always is incorrect. There's actually two words, diapos, which should read literally, through all this, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What does that tell you? What does that give you a picture of? Mm-hmm. He was in the tombs, day and night, crying and cutting himself. We're not talking about a man running around physically cutting himself. He's been torn in his mind. He's been tormented in his mind. There's hell. There's a man that's walking in hell. Right there. See, there's the example of it. He wasn't in a place of fire and torment. He was in his mind. But when he saw Jesus, now where did he see him? Where did he see Jesus? No. Where did he see him? Far off. See, he was in hell, and he knew it. And he saw him out there. What did he do? How do you get your answer? How do you get out of hell?
You cry out to him, pray.
He went to him and worshiped him. Mm-hmm. Didn't it say that? Yeah. He saw him afar off, and what did he do?
He ran
to him. See, most people see Jesus and they run the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think they're looking for Jesus as the church. And it's not the same thing, believe me. You'll be disappointed if you do that. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped. This word is proskuno, and it means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. Now, how many people do you know that when they come to God, they give themselves up like that? Huh? You knew a man was. Not very many people do that. But to give themselves over to God wholly. I heard one time, I heard a preacher say, it's okay to keep back a little bit for yourself. God don't want it all. That was a man who was keeping back a little bit for himself and wasn't going to give it all to God no matter what. Yeah, and I think they were stoned to death, wasn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember that real plain thing. And God let me see so many of these things that people have done wrong. And he never said, look how bad they are. He just asked me a question, said, did you see that? Yes, sir. He said, don't you ever do it. See, so by them making a mistake, I learned by their mistakes. That means I don't have to walk through what they did, do I? If I listen to what my Father tells me, and he shows me an error in something someone's doing, and I listen to it and I watch it, whoops, I can't go there. I have learned that principle without ever having to walk it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I made a statement here, I don't know, a few months ago. I said, we don't all have to walk through the same hell. Paul said it this way, mark them that follow Christ and do what?
Follow them.
If you want to follow someone who's living the right, walking the right lifestyle, you won't have to go through as much hell as if you go out and do it on your own. Because you have no examples. But if you watch somebody who's doing it, and God let me learn, but not by me actually going through it, but seeing somebody else do the wrong thing. And rather than condemning the person, in my eyes even, me condemning the person, I thank God that those people were in my life to show me that. They're not even aware that they were teaching me. Had no clue what they were doing for me. But God set it all up. Just like he told him Joseph in his life, what you meant for evil, they meant for evil, God meant for good. And that's why we have to realize this thing. All this negative in our life is for our benefit, not for somebody else's. It's to do me good. I thank God for it. And it says, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God. Now here's a demon they're talking about. They think it's a devil. Talking and saying, I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Here's a devil asking God, Jesus, the Son of God, through the power of his Father, not to torment him. That sounds stupid. Now, what do you think's really going on here? Think about it a second. What do you think's really going on here? This man out of the tombs, who is he? That's right. It's Adam. It's the you. Now, when you see Christ, you know something's going to happen. Right?
He knew
who he was as soon as he saw him. And it says when he saw him afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, you ain't going to go worship somebody you don't know who they are you? He knew God. And this is talking about you as an individual. When you see God afar off, you realize where the life really is. You're standing in darkness and the light over there is real bright. Which way are you going? See? They ran to the light and worshipped him. And then he says, I beg you not to torment me. Okay? You know what I see this as? I see this as an internal thing working in us. When we look and see the Christ, we're going to say, oh God, don't torment me. Because this is the flesh crying out. That's that natural man, that man in the tombs, that dust man. And he don't want that light. We just spoke about it earlier. People love darkness. They don't like the light.
Was that
Well, I don't remember if it was or not. I don't remember now.
Well,
look at it and see, honey.
I think it is. Jesus, when he was on the going to the cross before they crucified him, he said, Father,
forgive him.
No, he said, take this cup.
If possible, remove this cup from me.
Yeah, but
nevertheless, not my will. Sure it was. That was the Christ speaking. Absolutely. Yep. Well, the flesh just hadn't been crucified yet, and it hadn't died completely. He was on his way. He was on his way. But he said, I adjure you by God that thou torment me not. Because he said unto him, now see, he didn't say this earlier, but he's telling you now, because he said unto this unclean spirit, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Now, what is this really unclean spirit? It's a thought. It's all it is. It's a thought. See? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When we think we're insignificant and mean nothing to nobody, then that's what we are. And when we realize that we are sons of God, guess what we really are? When we believe it in our heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? So when we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are sons of God, what are we going to act like? Huh. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You see, as long as we think we're tied to this dirt man, this Adam man, we're going to act like Adam. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't expect a dog to act like a bird and fly. They're ground bound. And that's what we're going to be. As long as we think we're related to this Adam man, we're not. Didn't Jesus say that his disciples were not of this world? Why? We might be in this world, but we're not of this world. It's not the same thing. Our thinking process is not of this world. That's all it is. We're all walking around the same globe. See, we can even talk, we can talk English language and no one understands us. They can't understand a thing we're saying. What do you think that's all about? We're talking the same English words, and when we say them, they can't hear a thing we're saying. They hear them by carnality because we're speaking by spirit. And do you think it's going to sit well with them? What do you think? Not going to make them happy campers. They just can't hear us because of the difference. Did you look at that word?
Yeah.
It wasn't touchstone, was it?
No, I don't know where I got that.
Okay. It wasn't. The word torment used in Revelation is touchstone, but that's a different word. I thought it was, but I wasn't absolutely positive. Doesn't hurt to check, does it? Mm-hmm. But anyway, Jesus said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Now, someone just shared with me today about this exorcist thing. It was on TV the other day. Just recently, they had a people doing exorcism on TV. That wasn't circumcision, that was exorcism. And, I mean, they're doing this thing, and they're performing for people, and it's almost like they want an audience, and they just want to show people what they can do. It's not real. It's not like some of that stuff they do. I've been involved in it. Believe me, it's not like what they're saying. Seen all kinds of it. But there's a lot of people scared about that thing. It stirred a lot of people up. And I had one come to me today and said, I got a friend and we need to come and see you. We need to get some devils out of us. And I said, I'll get you the devils out. Let me give you a book. This book will take the devils out of you. See? That's where them devils are right there. You get enough of this word in you, there ain't no room for no devil in you. You ain't got no room for it. Yep. But anyway, you got to treat the kids like little kids. And,
yeah.
Yeah. We'll work with them. And he asked him, what is your name? What's he really saying? What's your nature? What's your character like, son? Uh-huh. And you know what? He answered him saying, my name is what? Do you know what the word legion, you know how much a legion is? 826. 6,826. That's what a legion is. Now, so what's he trying to tell you? Now, if this number here, look at me. If this number 2 represents what? Well, it can be a witness or it can be confusing. It's a mixture. Mixture. If 2 is a mixture, what do you think 6,826 is?
Verse 5.
A demon? Stinking thinking, you know. You see what I'm saying? This guy had so many thinking processes wrong in him, he didn't have a clue what was going on. And isn't that what humanity is today? Oh, you don't think it was mixed up with all them thought processes? Whew, man. Oh, no wonder he was in the tombs. He was better off in the tombs than he was in church. If he'd been in a tabernacle, he'd have been in worse shape. Oh, they're all going to be multiplied. Mm-hmm. He said, well, my nature is legion. I'm confused, I guarantee you. For we are many. Well, you know, anytime you get many, you're going to have confusion.
Right.
Anytime you got confusion, there's going to be a bunch involved. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, see, this is still an internal thing. Hey, don't send me away. Don't send us away. See? Don't take us out of our comfort zone. See? Because people that have these unclean thoughts, these unclean spirits, don't want to give them up because they're comfortable with them.
See?
I said people who are addicted to drugs don't want to give them up, or alcohol or anything. They don't want to give them up because they like what it's there. Now, in my mind, as long as I say it's okay to drink, what am I going to do? Okay. I can say anything out of my mouth I want to. But as long as I continue to drink that alcohol, what am I saying? It's okay. It's okay. See? And I'm never going to change. And I had to come to a place where I said, it's not all right. And until I said it, and I had to say it verbally, I couldn't just think it in my mind. I had to say it verbally so my mind heard me say it. I had to admit it to myself. And went right back in my ears. I can't do this anymore. And you know what happened? It quit. But I had to do it. Nobody could make me, because I'd keep on doing it the rest of my life until I was dead. But I had to do it myself, and I had to hear it. But he saw them that they wouldn't send them away. And somebody else sending them thoughts away is not going to do you much good, is it? You've got to learn to work out your own deliverance, your own salvation. And he says, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. What is swine? Pigs, aren't they? Unclean animals. Now what was the Jews doing herding a bunch of pigs? Sounds like maybe some churches. Well, now, when I say that, I say it in jest, but a swine in Scripture represents Christians or religious folk, because to be a clean animal, you had to have a split hoof and chew the cud. Now, the cud's internal, isn't it? The Christians walk around, and Jesus preached and said, you make the outside of the cup clean, but the inside's full of all kinds of abominations. You don't chew the cud. You don't go back and meditate on the Word and chew the Word. So that makes you an unclean animal, see? And that's what he's talking about here. They were cultivating all these unclean beasts. What were they? Right here. It's the spirits in us. See, we're cultivating them because we're not meditating on the Word of God, are we? So then what else are we going to have in our head? Godly thoughts or worldly thoughts? If I'm meditating on God, the world ain't got a place. But if I'm meditating on the world, God ain't got a place. It's just black and white, and simple as it can be. It's whichever one I'm into is the one it's going to be. Okay? That's the one who'll be sitting on the throne. If you're thinking about them, you'll put them on the throne. But there's this great herd of swine feeding. That means they were eating whatever was being put out there. And all the devils, or them unclean thoughts in yourself, besought him saying, don't send us away, put us into the swine, that they may enter into them. And immediately Jesus gave them leave. He let them go. You know what's amazing here? The unclean thoughts went out and entered into the swine. And in the natural, I think it's funny, because people will live with these demonic thoughts, these evil thoughts, And pigs will commit suicide rather than live with it. They'll go jump in the lake and drown before they'd put up with it. And humans will cultivate and keep all of it. They want to keep it. And the hogs at least go die, you know, in the natural. But these unclean thoughts went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a place into the sea, went right into humanity. And there were about how many?
2,000.
Now, what does 2,000 tell me? What does 2,000 tell you? The number 2,000 has to be factored. Two is what?
Witness.
And what's 1,000? 10 times 10 times 10. Two or three places, every word is established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? So we got two, and then that's a witness of 10 times 10 times 10 is 1,000. 2,000, right? Now, what is 10? The witness of the law. What will it do to you? It'll choke you in humanity. It'll kill you. That's all he's saying. That as long as we stay in these religious thoughts, these unclean thoughts, we're going to end up in the sea, and they were what? Choked, drowned, died. And that's what's going to happen. We'll die in our carnality, in all these thoughts. We're going to be choked out in the sea and drowned in humanity until we get rid of them. But notice the man that said he wanted to get rid of them. See, he cast them out of. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him. The word him. It says they come to Jesus and see that one. Not him, but that one that was possessed with the devil. And had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why?
Because he had the righteousness of Christ.
Oh my God, he was clothed.
Yeah.
He was just like his master.
Yeah.
And you know what? It scared them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They're going to be tormented in the presence of the Lamb and his holy angels, or his holy messengers. They don't want to see anybody else, because misery loves company, doesn't it? Anybody in this fleshly condition, they love misery, or else they'd get up and leave. That little sign I keep in my office, it'll be there as long as I live, because it's in my heart. It says, you will stay the same until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. You'll stay in misery. You'll stay in all this torment and fear until you've had so much of it that the change won't hurt near as bad as staying where you're at. And see, everybody's got to go there.
He said he had his right mind, but he had the mind of Christ.
He had the mind of Christ, I guarantee you. So he had his right mind, which was the mind of Christ, and they were afraid. Now notice, this wasn't a multitude of people that got cleaned up here. How many was it? How many sons is there?
One corporate body.
He's talking about the son. This is first fruit. I know somebody else read it and say, what are you talking about? Well, they don't have their mind opened up to see what we're seeing. So there's something a little deeper than just reading the letters on this page, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is talking, he's talking to you and telling you all kinds of parables and stories here. And he said he was always going to talk to the multitude in what?
Parables. Yeah.
But they can't see it, I guarantee you. When I read this years ago, I couldn't see it until God opened my eyes to see it. It's a beautiful story now. I'm not seeing demons and devils. I'm seeing a man delivered, called the first fruit, called his son. Huh?
Called me.
Me.
Yeah, called me.
That's right. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him. The ones who were witnesses to what Jesus did told it what had befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So they rehashed the story. And they began to pray or to beg him to depart from their coast. Get out of our borders, man. We don't want you here. That sounds like religious folk. You went too far. I don't know whether I believe about this Holy Ghost stuff. I don't know whether I believe this demon and devil stuff. Only reason you don't believe it, you know why? It's because you're covering up the ones you got.
The one talking
out's the one that is. The devil's talking right out of their mouth. And that devil's just their own mind, because I don't believe there's a devil with a pitchfork and a tail, pointed tail and red flannel underwear. I think the only devil there is our own minds. howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Excuse me, I'll skip to verse 18. And when they was come into the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil begged him that he might be with him. See, it's not yet time. It's not yet time. I just started the first fruit. It isn't finished yet, is it? See, everybody thinks that once you're saved, oh, glory to God, we got it in Passover. Then we come to Pentecost and they get filled with the Holy Ghost and, oh, God, we got it. Oh, no, there's more. And see, he wanted to be with him. And what Jesus was saying was, it's not yet time. See, I got to start this thing. Jesus came as a person and fulfilled what God told him to do. He came for the lost children of the house of Israel. True or false? God just burnt me on one just right there, just shot one through me. Everybody thinks who this was. Who was it? What does everybody think? What does everybody teach this is? The lost house, the lost children of the house of Israel. Who is that? I know, but everybody said, what do they teach? They teach it's the Jewish people. No, it's not. Jesus was sent to one people, and it wasn't the Jewish people. It was the children, the lost children from the house of Israel. That is us, the first fruit people. Do you hear me? The ones who had lost their identity. That's who he was sent to. Was he sent to all the religious folk, the Jews? He didn't talk to all them people, did he? He only came through and picked out certain ones. First fruit. He's just picking them. Huh? I don't think so. Every one of them was. Every one of them. Go to Deuteronomy 7. You'll find out everybody's got some. Seven nations greater and mightier than you are. Okay? But anyway, he prayed him, or he begged him that he could be with him, and he couldn't. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home. Literally, he says, go to thy friends, go into the homes of your friends. Go into the homes of your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and hath had compassion on you. Okay? Be who you be. Be who you be. I've chosen you. I've delivered you. Now, what did that man have to do? He didn't have to do nothing, did he? Jesus has come into his territory, took him over, said, take a hike, pigs. You're out of here.
Set him free.
See? Set him free. The man didn't ask for nothing. He just asked him not to torment him. And Jesus still already cast him out, didn't he? He didn't ask for no permission. He come and took the one he wanted. That's the way he does in our lives. He takes the ones he wants to work. He didn't ask your permission. And he just set this man free. He said, now, the guy says, let me go be with you. No, I didn't raise you up for that reason. God didn't bring you in this world just so you could go to heaven and sit on a throne and wear robes and play harps, did he? He brought you here for a reason. He delivered you for a reason. Raise you up to now have compassion and mercy. Go to your friends and tell them. Go manifest it to them what I have given to you. See, that's the sons of God. He just manifested. That's what he's trying to tell us. He said, I could go, but it's better for you that I stay, but better for me if I go, so I'll just stay for y'all. See? Sure. He wants a body to work through, and he's got one. He's already chosen. That's all he's doing. And he said, go home and tell your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish or preach in Decapolis. Decapolis is what? It's 10 cities. And what that's saying, Decapolis, 10. What is 10?
The law.
So he says, go preach to all them people in them cities out there that's under the law. Hello? Preach to all them under the law. That's everybody. 10 can be complete humanity. I can show you that too. Luke 17, 10 speaks of all of humanity. The 10 lepers, it was all of humanity. So he's saying, go out there to all these people that's under the law and go into the cities, and are we not called the city of God? The holy Jerusalem coming down from above? But go into all the rest of these cities, the ones that don't know yet who they are. And you manifest just like I manifested to you. Go set them free. Now, why did he set that man free?
To show
There it is. He loved him. He loved that man that was hurt so bad, that was in such a mess. And you know what most churches would have done? They'd have walked by that cat in a heartbeat, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have had no compassion on that man. And he said, I'm looking for the beaten, broken, and bruised. The lame, crippled, and crazy. Okay? That's what God come after. He said, the ones that are whole have no need of a physician, do they? This man needed one, and he knew it. See? He wasn't playing no games. He knew he needed one. And God had compassion on the ones that nobody wanted. He said, I'll choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak to confound the mighty. And there's what it is. See, he's choosing us. The confounding all them people with their PhDs and doctor's degrees.
And there's, that's
the ones that want him out. I heard a man say one time, there's so many doctorates in the pulpit anymore, you'd think God was sick. He's not. He's not. They are. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and was nigh or near to the sea. So when Jesus passed back over across humanity, what would that maybe be? After his resurrection? The other one, you know, when he was crucified, rather than when I said resurrection, it was crucifixion, when he had come out of the ship. That was the crucifixion, and here we got the resurrection. When he come back across, he come back to humanity again to show himself after the resurrection to over 500 people, right? And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, that's one of them religious leaders, right? Jairus by name. What's his name mean, Jairus? It means whom God enlightens. The only one that's going to come out of the religious sect is what? The ones God enlightens. The rest of them going to stay right there. See? So he came to him because God set him up. Could you understand that? God set this man up to do this thing. He put it in his heart. He enlightened this man to come to see Jesus. Okay? And by name, what's his name? Jairus. And when he saw him, literally the word saw means knew. And when he knew him, he fell at his feet. See, many people saw Jesus and they did not fall down at his feet. This word here where it says saw literally means knew. When you know who God is, there's nothing left but to worship him, is there? There's nothing left. It's just going to be an automatic response. How can someone who has never in their natural life seen God, when God appears in their life, immediately they begin to worship? Tell me why. Why do they do that? How about they knew him before the foundation? Remembered. That hole that was empty, you know. Didn't they say those men walk on the road to Emmaus? They didn't our heart burn when he was with us talking? They didn't quite remember, did they? But once they got the remembrance, oh. See? It's that remembrance. And that's what this is going about here. See, they were remembering something. This man remembered who he was when he saw him. He fell at his feet, and it said, it besought him greatly. He begged him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. You know who he's talking about? His own soul. His own soul. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, a certain what? Now, he does this a lot, and I think it's neat because he can tell two or three stories at the same time and not lose his place where we'd probably mess up. But he puts it all in order. He'll go through another one and come back. A certain woman, and we're going to talk about the soul, right? Which had an issue of blood. How many years? Now, you know what this woman's problem was? Does anybody know what her problem was? Now, if you look in the language, it said she was hemorrhaging. Okay? Hemorrhaging means you can die, doesn't it? But you know what her issue of blood was? The cross. Her issue of blood was the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. And see, as long as that woman doesn't have that blood on her, she's got an issue with it, hasn't she? Because she ain't been to the cross yet, has she? That woman hasn't died yet. And for how many years? What's 12 represent? Government of God. See? She hasn't got the government of God on her yet. She ain't got the mind of Christ yet, has she? She's still got a problem with the cross. See, you're never going to get the mind of Christ till you go through the cross. You're not going to have it. Although Jesus was a man who walked, who had all this, it said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. See? Cross has got to come into your life. And a cross is not death. It's life. Jesus said, I'm alive forevermore. See, when you walk through that cross, you'll never worry about death again. Never. Because now you've stepped into life. It's not death. Where am I at?
So the issue of
blood is him dying on the cross. No, her. The issue of blood was this man's soul. It's yourself. It's who it is. It's you struggling with trying to keep yourself alive and not giving yourself up. The woman is a soulish person, see, the soulish realm. And when that woman hasn't given herself up, she's got an issue of blood. And 12 is the government of God, so guess what? She's still doing with God. She's still trying to fight God ruling over her. Well, he's king of all kings. He's king over everyone, so what's the problem? Except that she is still stiff-necked, speaking of my soul. She's stiff-necked and doesn't want to lay it down yet. Seeking the physical things. It's not where it's at. Okay? And had suffered many things under many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Literally it says she spent nearly all she had and was nothing better but grew worse. You know what? That's people running from church to church looking for a fix. And he's the great physician. They're looking for a man to heal them, see? They're looking for all these people. They're going to run to crusades and have some man blow on them and do all these silly things to heal them. And all they do is they go home because all he's done, they can walk easier because he's made their pocketbook a little lighter. When he gets done, that's all really happened. You know, I've never seen these things. I've seen all these supposed healings. But let's see where they're at 2 or 3 years later. Do they still have the healings? See? I know God heals. I don't have a problem with that. But I can't tell you, 6 months from today, I'm going to have a healing crusade and bring anybody you want here and God's going to heal them. I don't believe that for 1 minute. My book says that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts severally as he wills. And I can't tell you right now what God's going to do in 10 minutes from now. How could I tell you 6 months from now what God's going to do? Can't do it. See, that's a man that's put himself in a position where he's had to let the woman take over. He's had to lay his soul go over because now we told him we've got to perform now regardless. We've got to perform. You're in a bad place now. I don't have to perform because I ain't going to step out and make no stupid statement like that. God tells me to do something, I'd tell it, but I don't think God will do it. I think God works better undercover. Okay, verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in and came in the press behind him, or in the crowd behind, and touched his garment. Because she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be what? Literally delivered. It's the word sozo. It means delivered. I'll be delivered. I'll get rid of all my stinking thinking. I'll get rid of my woman ways, my soulish ways, if I can just touch him. See, because he is everything. He'll deliver me from all this stuff. And see, the issue of blood really isn't about blood. It's about my will. See, my will's still there. And she's going to give up her will, and she knows it. But you know what I'd say about this woman? She finally came to a place where the pain of the change wasn't any greater than the pain of the staying there. She got tired of it and she made a change. So she reached out. And immediately the fountain, or literally the source of her blood, was dried up. And see, all it takes is that one contact, that one hookup. My soulish way of thinking. And as soon as I have a touch from God, guess what? When I hook up with that Spirit, my battery done got charged. I'm not running on dirt any longer. Now I'm running on the Spirit. I'm not running on my stinking thinking. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she what? Knew, not felt, but she knew in her body that she was healed of what? Of that disease, is what it says, the disease. And what was the disease? The carnality. The carnality. She was carnally minded. And Jesus, immediately knowing of him in himself that virtue, and that word virtue is not correct, it's a miraculous power, had gone out of him. He turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" You think he was really saying that? Who touched my righteousness? See, because when you come to a place where you have been under the law so long that you're in such misery, you want to submit to the government of God. You want the mind of Christ. And when you reach out and touch His righteousness, guess what's going to happen? He's going to know you touched Him. You know why? Because He baited you right into it. I'll bet you He knew the course and knew she was there before He ever walked by. And I'd say when He walked by, He said, "There she is. There's my woman. I'm going to get close enough and let her touch my righteousness. And then we're going to see what happens." He knew it all. And and his disciples said unto him, now here's the religious folk right here. Here's the religious folk. And his disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude crowding about you and saying, 'Who touched you?'" See, there's the people that still walk. This is the disciples that were walking with Him, and they still had no revelation that He was really God. And they said, "What? You mean you look at all these people and you said, 'Who touched you?'" See, they didn't realize. See, He was speaking in a spiritual language that they could not understand. They were hearing with the dust mind. That's all. And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, the soul, fearing and trembling, that's reverence and respect, you know that, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Huh. Oh my, how many husbands have I had? And He said unto her, "Daughter," and you know what that language really says? "Daughter of God." Daughter of God, thy faith has delivered you. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases. We're not talking about literal diseases. We're talking about the sicknesses of the mind. Those devils we talked about, those wicked, evil thoughts we're talking about. See, if my mind is right, it puts everything else in perspective. I can go to every doctor, just like this woman did, and spend everything that she had, and she still was worse. And see, we can't go to a doctor to get fixed, because those are only outward symptoms of the inward problem. Until my inside is fixed, until my thinking process is changed into the mind of Christ, I got no choice but to die. But because carnally minded is what? It's death. How could I get life out of death? As long as I'm hanging on to this thinking, I've got death. But when I put the mind on of Christ, see, I don't think about this stuff no more. But as long as I'm holding on to it, this stuff here, this carnal thinking, I got no option but to manifest what I am. I'm carnal, I'm going to die. If I'm spiritual, I live for eternity. Simple as that. Is that hard to understand? But boy, people make it hard. Yeah. The lawyers make it hard. Yeah. The ones that think they know the law. Right. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain ones which said, "Your daughter is dead. Why do you harass the Master any farther?" Well, I'm going to tell you what. If anybody thinks that you going to God is harassing God for asking Him for anything, you've missed it. Because our Father wants every intricate detail of your life. Don't think that any detail of your life is too minute for God to be involved in it. The church says, oh, don't bother God with all those little trivial things. Well, excuse me, my Father wants every detail of my life, doesn't He? Yours? I want my Father to be so intricate into my lifestyle, He has every jot and tittle of my life down pat. He sure does. That's why I breathe every day. See? And everybody thinks, well, we don't want to bother God with that. No, that's what He wants. Everybody wants to deal with the big things with God. How about the little things? The little things show you have relationship. See, if I only talk to my wife on payday and on certain days, there ain't no relationship. But see, when I show her when we ain't got anything, there's relationship. That's where a relationship is built, in the details of her life. Not in the big, wonderful times. It's in the details of the relationship. Absolutely. That's what makes it. It's what makes the whole thing. So, the religious folk will tell you, don't trouble the Master. But did Jesus tell anybody to go away? He said, anyone that comes in by, I will no wise cast them out. Right? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, merely have faith. Merely. All you have to do is have some faith. Now you know what my book says? God has given a measure of faith to all men. Don't tell me you don't have any faith, because that's calling God a liar. Everybody has a measure of faith. And it's His measure that He gave you. So whatever you need to accomplish, you will accomplish because He's already put it in you. You can't fail. I think it's so wonderful. You can't fail. There's nothing in this world that can give you that guarantee except for God. He's already set everything up in your life. He's provided everything you need. He's poured His Spirit out without measure upon His sons. He's given every man a measure of faith. How could you possibly fail? The only way you can fail is when you revert right back into your carnal thinking and say, but what if? Doubt and unbelief is the only thing that will stop you from fulfilling anything in your life.
And that's everything.
And that's in everything you do. Everything. Because God has already provided everything you need. Okay? And He allowed no man to follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Three of them. And He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and sees the tumult or the disturbance going on and them that wept and wailed there. See, and the religious folk in that day, they hired professional wailers to come and scream and holler and wail over somebody. And it ain't no different in the church today. People are performed. They may not hire them, but they sure come and do it because they've been manipulated in thinking that if I'll come and weep and cry because someone died, that'll make it all better. It won't. It won't. I'm not a person that shows my emotions by someone dying. It doesn't mean you're hard. It means that I realize if I lose control, then I can't accomplish anything. And it's more important, most of my life, it's been more important to keep things under control in my thinking process where I don't run off and do some stupid thing in my emotions. When I learned that, my life turned around. Emotions are fine as long as the emotions are not controlling and making your decisions for you. If you make your decisions out of emotions, of anger, fear, intimidation, manipulation, control, you're making a mistake. See, but if you use logical thinking, the same, that's what God is. God is logic. Okay? Lois had this saying we've had for years when Ed had his business down here at the machine shop. It was on your sign for years, wasn't it? Anger is the wind that blows the light out of your mind. You can't think right when you're angry. When you get mad, any peak of emotion, you will never make the right decision. You have to make a logical choice in making that decision. And you got to come down to a flat line. You can't have peaks and valleys in your life. You got to make it level. And His level is always up here. See? It's not down in the valley. It's on the mountaintop, flat, plateau. It's always up on top. And you can be there. And when you make your decisions and you don't make them out of your emotions, I guarantee you, you'll make very few wrong decisions. you'll get the right decision because it's made on that level thinking process, not that spikes.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
Any uncontrolled emotion is taking Christ out of place.
Sure it is. It's ignoring Christ. It's just looking at yourself. Okay? And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. Okay? And what'd they do? They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, and notice who the boss was, he put them out, didn't he? And see, that's what's going to happen to the rich. They've got to be put out. In the Revelation, it says that the whoremongers, the thieves, the liars, the murderers, the adulterers, and fornicators, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie will be outside the city. Outside the city. So he put them out. And he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him. Who is that? Peter, James, and... But that was first fruit. See, that was his first fruit right there. And entered into where the damsel was lying. Now, why was it first fruit? And why was what was going on there? Remember, this is about thinking about what Christ thought, the mind of Christ. Okay? So, what has transpired here? Look what he said again. And he took the father and mother damsel and them that were with him. That's first fruit. Wasn't that him? It was him, wasn't it? I mean, we're all one body. That was the first fruit, the body and the head going in together. And entered where the damsel was lying. Who was the damsel again?
The soul.
The soul. Okay. So the first fruit entered in. That's the Christ. Where the damsel was lying. Where was my soul lying? It's in here. See? He entered the house. And after his resurrection and he went around for a few days, didn't he ascend and go back where he belonged from the beginning? And where's he at? When he came back, he said 50 days later, what happened? He entered humanity. He cleansed the house and he came back and entered in. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, now, damsel by the hand, this is the Christ reaching and getting a hold of your soul. Oh, come on. This all ain't coincidence that this woman and this man's having this relationship, is it? Now, this is a young damsel. You know why? Because when he gets a hold of you, you're not mature. Are you? The maturity comes by the down the road. See? And he got a hold of it. It's just a starting place here. And this is when he actually has the relationship, when the man-woman relationship started. And everybody says, oh, a 12-year-old, that's ungodly. No, in this culture, women were married at 9 and 10 and 11 years old. See? So this damsel doesn't mean a little girl that's never gone. This is someone getting ready to have a relationship with her man. This was a woman getting ready to have a relationship with her man. Now, I know people think that's pervert or something, but in this culture, them women are married off as little girls. Well, the boys had their bar mitzvah that time, but the girls was married off earlier than that. So they were already starting into their puberty and whatever was going on. They were having an issue of blood, huh? And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, young girl or maiden, arise. Which says, being interpreted, as I say to you, arise. And immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. Because she was the age of 12 years. So she immediately arose. When God says in your life to your woman, arise, what are you going to do? Okay. You're going to do what he says. You're going to be obedient. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Right? And he ordered them straightly that no man should what?
Know
what? What
he did.
What he did. Now, what's he saying? Oh God, this is a good one. You ready for it? Didn't he say, I'll speak to all men in multitudes in what?
Parables.
Why? Because it's given to you, the children of the kingdom, to know these mysteries, but those outside the kingdom, it's not to know. Can you see it? He said, don't let no man know it. What's he talking about? the natural man. See, don't let no natural man know what I'm doing, because they can't anyway. It's internal. They can't see what's going on inside of us, can they? They can't see when the Christ grabs a hold of your woman, can they? They can't see that. And there's no way for them to know it. You know why? Because they have to experience it. It has to be an experience. You can't talk about this thing, and nobody who has not experienced it can't talk to you about it. See, someone who hasn't been touched this way, when he reaches down and gets that dead hand and raises that soul to life. Come on. Until you've been there, until he gets a hold of you, you can't tell nobody about it anyway, because you don't know about it. But once you experience it and he reaches and gets a hold of your hand and resurrects you, now you're going to have a relationship. And nobody can know about it because it's an intimate relationship. And nobody knows about that one, do they? Except you and your man, the Christ within you. Oh, I couldn't wait for that verse. And commanded that something, that's what he commanded her to eat, is what it should say. These words, that something should be given, should be crossed out. All those words are added words. I don't care what your italics say, them are all added words. Look in your language. Look in your Strong's. They're not there. It should say this, and commanded, or gave, and gave, no, it shouldn't say commanded, it should say gave. And he gave her to eat. Now, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of this bread shall never die. Didn't he? See, here he is. He didn't command somebody to give something to her. He gave her the bread of life. But he gave her himself. Oh, talk about communion. See, this is the only communion we're talking about. Because I can take a piece of bread and a jug of grape juice, and there ain't no communion. That's for babies yet. And that's okay. And I won't take that away from nobody. But the real communion is right there. When he takes a hold of my hand and he provides what I need to eat. That's my communion. I had communion with a man today in Parkersburg. We were talking. He said, brother, this is communion. I said, I know. We're sharing life with each other. We might be separated by hours of time, but we're not separated. We're brothers. And I said, we had communion. We had communion for about an hour and a half on the phone today. And I mean, tell you, that's what it's about. When the Christ gets in you and reaches down and resurrects you, and then he says, here I am. Take of me. I am meek and lowly. Woo! I don't care. I'm going to get excited. Oh, that's good. I don't care what anybody says. That's good. So he gave her something to eat.